this morning and you'll open to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, a great storm. Each and every one of us, no doubt this morning, have been through some great storms in our lives. Been through problems that we thought we'd never get through. Faced situations, walls and barriers that we thought we'd never get over, and yet somehow we got through. Somehow the Lord came and broke those walls down or got us over that mountain. But I want to share with you from Mark chapter 4 where it begins, where the Lord begins talking about a great storm, or the scripture begins to talk about a great storm in the life of Christ's disciples, and yet it ends up talking about a great calm that comes upon them. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, James says this: "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works what? Patience. It works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for these that have come this way this morning. Lord, we would pray this morning that you would increase our faith, Father. Each and every day, as was shared in our Sunday school class, Lord, every time we turn the TV on, every time the radio is, the newscast comes on the radio or whatever, Father, you just hear of such terrible, terrible things, dark, dark things, Father. Murder today is not just murder, it's mutilation, and it's demonic. And so, Father, today we are completely overwhelmed by so much misery and suffering and pain. And yet, Father, today we know that as we see these things, as we are Christians and we've studied the Scriptures, we realize that your Word tells us that these things will come to pass. Lord, we just pray that soon and very soon you'll be coming for your church. We thank you, though, Father, for your long-suffering. We know that your long-suffering means that somebody who's living in darkness might find the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, might be led by a Christian out of that darkness into the very light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, if long-suffering be your will, then, Father, we plead for your continued long-suffering. But, Father, our heart's desire is to see the kingdom come, see thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, bless your people this morning. You get praise, get honor, and glory. Father, increase our faith today as we wait upon your coming, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. James says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And for this reason, God permits trials and even afflictions and persecutions to come our way, not for the purpose of proving ourselves to others, not for the purpose of proving ourselves to others, but to help build our own personal faith in Christ through practical application. Here in Mark chapter 4, Christ has been teaching his disciples the importance of faith and trust in his heavenly Father to meet their needs. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was walking on the face of this earth and when he was ministering, it was interesting that even his brothers said, "Well, you're doing all these things to draw attention to yourself." And you know what Jesus told them? Jesus said, "It's not me. I'm not the one that's doing the works." Who was the one doing the works? His Father, which was inside him. His Father, which was, he was one, and he and his Father were one. And so the Lord Jesus gave all the praise and the honor and the glory to his Father. He said, "What I see my Father doing, that's what I do." And you know something, this morning as we were sharing in the Sunday school class today, sometimes it's difficult. We talk about people doing us wrong and trying and we want to forgive them, but we talk about the fact that we as Christians, we want to forgive them and we try to forgive them, and there's such a thing as forgiving. You hear that old term, forgiving but not forgetting. But you know something, I really believe that if in fact you have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you by and by, and you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, by and by you will forget as well as you will forgive. I believe that's true. I believe that's true. Here in Mark chapter 4, Christ has been teaching his disciples the importance of faith and trust in his heavenly Father to meet their needs. For example, if you'll look down in verse 26... In verse 26, the Lord says, and the Scripture says, "And he said, 'So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately the farmer puts forth his sickle, and because the harvest is come. And so here's a perfect example of faith, the simple faith of a farmer. He has the faith to plant the seed. He has the faith of knowing that if the ground is good ground, the seed will grow up into a bountiful harvest, yet he has absolutely no control over the mystical process of the growth. He trusts in God. Day by day, he trusts in God. And his trust is such that he sleeps and he rises and he sleeps and he rises until it is time to go out and bring in the harvest. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't he marvelous? I know I've shared with you about me planting this tomato plant. I mean, I'm not a farmer. I don't know anything about farming. But somebody told me, if you plant this tomato plant in, just find any piece of ground and plant it in the ground and get you one of them little screens to put around it, it'll bring forth tomatoes. And you know, I had a doubt about that because I can't grow anything. But how glorious it was to me to see that little plant begin to spring up and begin to get those little green knots on the leaves or on the branches. And then those little green knots began to turn blood red. How beautiful that was. And I mean, that was inspirational to me. God blesses us in such a wonderful way. He's there to provide for us. If the store is closed down and you can get a hold of a tomato plant, you're going to be all right. God's going to take care of you. If you can plant that seed, God's going to take care of you. But that's the way the farmer is. Farmer's trusting God. The farmer knows there will be a harvest. And because he knows this, he plants and he plants by faith. And he's able to go to bed at night and rest and sleep and know. He gets up in the morning and he sees that green come out on the particular crop that he's planted and that's growing. God tells us that one day there's going to be a great harvest of souls, both of the children of God and then of the children of wrath. That's right, there's going to be a great harvest, a great rapture of the children of God, and there's also going to be a great rapture of the children of wrath. We as Christian workers can sow seeds toward the harvest of Christ in heaven. You and I can certainly sow seeds toward the harvest of Christ and at heaven, but we can also, or by way of waywardness and worldliness walk, we can also sow seeds toward the harvest of hell. True faith will always sow seeds toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is this morning, which direction might we be sowing this morning? Then there's the example also in verse 30 of Mark chapter 4 about trusting. He said, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Faith, when it takes hold in good ground, that is, by the way, spiritually speaking, when it takes hold in your heart, it'll grow. The more I tell you, and this is, I know you hear it too many times probably, but it's worth saying again, the more you share the Lord Jesus Christ, the more confidence you're going to have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the more fruit you're going to bear for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit nurtures the seed that's in our heart and fashions it so that it grows and bursts forth into a great testimony that will draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 6, the scripture says, "And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Can you imagine that? Did you ever read of any of the disciples who commanded a sycamore tree to be plucked up and cast into the ocean or a mountain to be removed? Have you ever read that in the scriptures? No, you haven't. You haven't read that. But I'll tell you what. The disciples, with their faith, moved great spiritual mountains. Moved great spiritual mountains. Great things can come from just a little faith. And you know, isn't that interesting? People talk about how much faith do you have. How much faith do you have? Oh, his faith is great. He has great faith. He has a whole lot of faith. Well, you know, that whole lot of faith, compared to that little faith, can still, still both the individuals can move mountains. Because as I've mentioned before, if you take an electrical socket and you electrical plug and you plug it into an electrical socket, how far do you have to plug it in before you get electrocuted or you start drawing electricity? How far do you have to plug it in? I tell you this, the moment it touches that contact, those contacts, you're going to get juiced. And I don't care how much further you plug that in, the juice is still going to flow the same. So if you get plugged into Jesus just that much, my goodness, you can move. God says you can move mountains. You can do mighty and wonderful things. Because we're trusting in Christ, not in ourself. We ought to be trusting in Christ and not ourself. Great things can come from just a little faith. But the world and the things of the world neutralize our faith and injure our testimony. In our trying to find happiness in this life, even Christians look everywhere else but to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians talk about praying and looking to God, but in reality, and when a close examination of the heart is made, we find ourselves praying very little and trusting to the lowest degree in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a people with faith. We say, yes, we are. That Jesus is coming again. We Christians believe that Jesus is coming again. But we may not be a people with faith enough to trust Christ in our daily walk. So Jesus has taught his disciples about faith. Trusting. Now watch what happens here in verse 35. Verse 35. You know, if you have faith, it's one thing to talk about your faith. It's quite another to put that faith in action. So look what happens in Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, Jesus saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And mind you, he'd been teaching all day. He was tired and exhausted. And so he steps into the boat and he says, let's pass to the other side. And verse 36 says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. I think that's so wonderful. The company of little ships. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Did you see? You see what's happened here? Jesus has stepped into the boat, shoved off. He's going to the other side. Now, by the way, he said they're going to get to the other side. Are they not? Isn't that what he said? Yeah, we're going to the other side. So whatever happens between the time they get from one shore to the other side, they're in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just remember that. God is in control. But isn't it wonderful to see that there are some people on that shore that were just so excited and so blessed with hearing the Lord Jesus Christ that they found themselves some little boats and they started going right along with him. These people in the little boats, these people haven't had enough of the Lord's teaching. They're hungry for more. Each and every one of us ought to be hungry for the Word of God today. Verse 37 says, and there arose a great storm of wind. And you might, if you take notes and you've got a pencil and you don't mind writing in your copy of God's Word, you might circle that word great storm, or the words great storm. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Matthew says the ship was covered with waves. Luke says that the ship was filled with water and in jeopardy of sinking. How quickly the storm came up, and the disciples were completely unprepared for it. And they think, listen, they think they're going to die. They think they're going to perish. The storms of life are that very same way. We're never quite prepared for the storms that come our way. One day we seem to have it all, and the next day our world is completely shattered. Unforeseen incidents, a death, a tragedy, a deep disappointment, or a broken dream. I tell you, the other day when I got John Harris's call, and he said, Jim, they've done everything that they can do for Mom. You could tell that John had such faith, and he still has faith that his mother, that the Lord Jesus can do anything with his mother. But when he called me the other day, you could tell that the information that he had received from the doctors was a surprise to him. Because things seem to be looking up. You will remember that Job started his day out in prayer and meditation to the Lord. He started his day out in prayer and meditation to the Lord, and at the end of that day, he lost everything he owned, his oxen, his sheep, his servants, and even his whole family, with the exception of his wife. And what was Job's response? Job chapter 1, verse 20 and 22. This is what Job said. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I don't know how many times I've probably shared this before, but let me tell you something, that later on God will rebuke Job for that, for his lack of faith, his lack of understanding. Because did God take everything away from him? Did God take everything away from Job? No, he didn't. God permitted Satan, who wants every day to take everything you've got. I tell you this, God, one of the most wonderful truths about the book of Job is when God said, when Satan tells God, "I can't get to Job because why? Why couldn't he get to Job?" That's right. Because God, you have put a hedge around him, and I can't get through to Job. Well, let me tell you something. You've got a hedge around you. God has put a hedge around you. But I can tell you this. You go dabbling in the world of darkness and sin and the world of the devil, you better watch out, because God might just lift that hedge and let you get a good look at the dark side. You don't want to see the dark side. I tell you, you want to see the dark side? Look at all the movies that are coming on today. Miserable things, bloody, terrible. It's demonic. All of it is. But Job said. "Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Here was a great storm in Job's life, and yet he still looks to God in faith. The disciples have witnessed Jesus' great power over sickness and illnesses, but they have yet to see that Christ has power over all things, even nature. Verse 38 says, "He," Jesus, "was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow." In the midst of this storm, Jesus was at rest. Jesus found perfect peace in the midst of a great storm. Jonah also found perfect peace in the midst of a violent storm. In Jonah 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "Then the mariners were afraid." You'll remember that Jonah was aboard this ship, and he was trying to run away from service to God, and God was right there. God was right there in the midst of the storm, in the midst of everything that was going on in Jonah's life. You can't run away from God. You can't run away from God. If God's calling you to ministry, if God's calling you to any kind of service, you ought to respond to Him. You ought to respond to Him. Because if you think you're not able to respond to Him, God provides you everything you need. If He calls you, He's going to provide for you. Don't worry about that. Jonah 1 and verse 5 says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Someone would ask the question, how is it possible for a man to sleep through such a situation? The immediate world all around him was falling apart. And here too, Jesus is asleep on a pillow, and the scene is one of complete peace and comfort for the Lord Jesus Christ, even though it seems for his disciples that the world is falling apart, that they're about to lose their lives. In John 10:30, the Bible says, Jesus says, "I and my Father are one." They were in union, and Jesus experienced perfect peace even in the midst of a tempest, because his heart was centered upon his Father. His Father had given him a mission, and Christ knew his Father would see him through. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to impart to you and I the same peace that his Father gave him. He's come to give us that same peace. In Luke 1:79, Zacharias prophesied that the Lord Jesus Christ would come to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. Whatever darkness you're facing today, whatever disturbing shadow dances in your pathway, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can set your heart at peace and will see you through. In Isaiah 26:3, many Christians quote this. Many Christians hold on to this in times of misery and pain and suffering. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." And this is true even in the face of death. The disciples thought that they were going to die. Verse 38. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? After all the years of Sunday school and church, and prayer after prayer, Christians today would ask the Lord the same question. Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus, don't you care about us? How is it possible for you to see it? Where can you see a perfect illustration of how God cares for you? Where would you see a perfect illustration of how much God cares for you? Absolutely, at the cross. On the cross. That was His Son. He loved you enough, and He cares so much for you that He was willing to let His Son come into this world, who, by the way, His Son was willing to come too, because His Son also loves you. But Christians, we have been consistent in our church attendance, but we have not been consistent in our worship. Then when we face a little problem, we run straight to God and demand in our prayer that He bail us out. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, James says this, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Double-minded. Be in church today, be in the world tomorrow. Enjoy the world the rest of the week, and then come back on into church on Sunday morning. If you've got 6 days of the world in your life during the week, how is one day in the Lord's house going to help you get through during times of trouble? The disciples had learned a great deal from following the Lord Jesus, but apparently they had not learned enough. Verse 39, "And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea," look at this, "Jesus stood up and He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a what? Hallelujah. A great calm. Started out, great storm, ends up in a great calm. What started out as a great storm has now been reduced to a great calm. Jesus speaks once, and the world comes to attention. Verse 40 says, "And He said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And the question can be asked of us this morning, why are you so fearful? We're so fearful because our hearts don't truly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We may be so fearful that because our hearts don't truly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We may be so fearful because our faith is not what it ought to be. The disciples thought they were going to die. There are at least three good reasons why the disciples should have been disturbed, even though the situation looked very grim. First of all, Jesus said in verse 35, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Jesus didn't promise an easy trip, but He did promise an arrival at their destination. Abraham took Isaac up to Mount Moriah to offer him in a sacrifice. Do you remember that? Took him up there. That wasn't an easy trip for Abraham to do, take his own son up on Mount Moriah and be willing to offer him up. But he did that, and he came back down with his son, didn't he? The Lord Himself was with them. He had demonstrated the second reason that the disciples shouldn't be in fear is the Lord Himself was with them. He had demonstrated in His miracles the power to deliver them from physical death. They should have had some degree of faith that the Lord would bring them through this terrible storm. Jesus was at perfect peace. Here's a third reason. Well, if Jesus is at perfect peace in the midst of a storm, we ought to be as well. This very fact should have been some encouragement to them. Psalm 4:8 says, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." What kind of a storm are you going through this morning? What kind of a fear is in your heart? What's troubling you so this week? What kind of a barrier do you see in the distant future? I tell you this, you grab hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll walk right through it with you. You remember the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Boy, were they facing a miserable situation? You're going to cast them into the furnace. And sure enough, when they cast them into the furnace, and Darius looked in to the furnace, what did he see? That's right. And he said, one of them appears to be the Son of God. Verse 41 says, and they feared. Now, after Jesus stood up and did this tremendous miracle, the Bible says, and they feared, the disciples feared exceedingly, and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And the lesson to be learned this morning, Jesus can be trusted in the storms of life when our faith is centered upon him. Centered upon him. We don't face situations alone. The Lord Jesus faces those with us. And many times, Jesus will bring us right into a situation so that we can increase our faith. So that we know that as we're walking through this particular situation, Christ is going to be walking with us. We're going to learn something. And you know what? By learning that particular thing that God wants us to learn, he may be preparing our hearts to help lead somebody else in the same direction. To be an encouragement to somebody else. Have you been an encouragement to anybody this week? Have you been an encouragement to anybody this week? We mentioned in the Sunday school class how Christians, you know, the worst thing in the world, the worst advertisement for the Christian faith is a Christian who walks around with the blahs all the time. I find it hard to believe that they have the power of the Holy Spirit living in their life. You and I, when we come into the presence of people, they ought to know immediately that we belong to Christ. That there's something peculiar about us. And I tell you this, I want to be peculiar all day long in this world. Because I'm going to be very well known, and we're all going to be very, none of us are going to be peculiar when Christ calls the church home. Amen? Whatever burden you're carrying, you can lay it right down here at this altar. Walk out that door and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And I truly believe you're going to have the peace of the Lord Jesus that's going to walk with you. Amen? Love you this morning. God bless you, and I appreciate each and every one of you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you, Father, for the encouragement of the word of God. I thank you, Father, for the men who penned these words, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that they are here for us today to absorb and to take to heart and to be encouraged by. Father, I also thank you for the very presence of the Holy Spirit that ministers and so wonderfully and comforts us and gives us peace as we wait upon your coming. Yes, Father, there's misery and there's just darkness. There's corruption. There's wickedness in this world, and it just seems like it's overflowing. But Lord, we're standing in the midst you're standing right in the midst of our hearts, Father, and so we ought to be able to have peace as we see these things come to pass, knowing that the rapture of the church is coming soon. Father, I ask your blessing upon those that are here this morning. If there's one here this morning who doesn't know you as a personal Savior, never made that commitment to you, I ask you this morning to move upon their heart. Knock again upon that heart's door. That they will be willing to open their heart's door and receive you as their Lord and Savior. But we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's people said, Amen.